Yeah, as I look at some of these, I get the idea that some of this is cleanup, some things that maybe, you know, for instance, like the technical violations thing on probationers. I mean, do you think you had to go through and find things that, I don't know, maybe sounded good at the time, but as you look at them in retrospect now, you say, well, that's not really feeding the overall purpose of a smart on crime policy?
No, I think this is drawn from best practices in other states where that's been tested and means tested. It's been tested against the rates of recidivism, and we searched high and low throughout the nation for best practices in an effort to not reinvent the wheel, but to try to put some of those best practices at play in a Michigan model. And the Michigan model that you see before you today, it has every expectation of bending that curve of crime in our communities first and foremost, followed closely by fixing some of the underlying problems of our probationers, our folks that are on parole and coming back to our communities as returning citizens and former felons, as well as those that are in our prison system. And it's really about accountability, and accountability that recognizes that there is a better way to do what we've been doing. See, Andy, we have 100,000 people.
Gordon, but that's right.
Gordon, my fault. Forgive me. Sorry.
It's been a while. It's all right. It's fair.
That's terrible on my part. I apologize. We have 100,000 people under supervision today between our probation, parole, and prison system. 42,000 of that 100,000 is in our prisons. So if we can find a way to stop the revolving door when nearly half of the annual input into our prison system is failures on probation and parole, then we will see a significant change in the overall population under supervision. That means we've got to find some ways to solve those problems. And the best practices that we looked at in other states, we're implementing here. And it's our expectation that this will bend the curve of crime in our communities and increase safety and security.
Give me some of the ideas on underlying problems. What do you think you're doing there that gets at those?
A lot of that is related to drug, alcohol, and specifically mental health issues, right? And nearly 75% of our offender population has some of those exhibited problems and concerns. So if you recognize that as the issue, you then have to find a way to provide the kind of supervision. Since we have 100,000 people under supervision, what are we doing to ensure that the outcomes are what we expect? Which means, in some cases, like swift and sure sanctioning, where we expand some of the opportunities for swift and sure sanctioning, that there is a direct and specific input of supervision whereby if an offender fails, they already know what the response is going to be. They don't wait 3-4 weeks to see the judge. They go immediately before the judge, and the sanction is meted out immediately because it was identified from the very beginning. So that is an example where you're changing the brain science around it. And the brain science is this: an action has consequences. If your action, say you showed up late for your appointment, and the action required a sanction, the immediate sanction may be 24 hours in jail. Breaking the cycle of what you thought you were going to do for the day because you failed to do the job in the right way or live up to the expectations of the court, the judge, your probation or parole agent. What if it's a dirty drop, which is that you ended up taking drugs against the advice of the court or the suggestion of the court? You've committed crimes in our community, so we've told you have to follow the following rules. If you fail to follow those rules, then we're going to have an immediate sanction if you fail. Those failures give us the chance to actually break the brain science behind it and have people understand that actions have consequences. We do that in another bill in this package, the Senate bill that speaks about parole sanction certainty. It models the same thing as what we see as a successful program on swift and sure sanctioning.
So I guess I'm wondering, though, with so many people under supervision, do you have enough people out there to keep tabs on people in
Absolutely.
Such a way that you're able to find out when there's problems and then meet out those swift and sure sanctions?
Absolutely.
About.
Gordon, we do. You know why we do? Because we spend $2 billion a year in the Department of Corrections. $2 billion general fund dollars. There's almost no federal funding involved in that at all. So if we can see greater success, we will see less cost. If we see less cost and greater success, we can invest in areas like education, maybe even early childhood education that gives a better chance for success for the youngest of our offenders because they're staying in school longer and they're getting the kind of education that we know is going to give them a chance to a job and a productive part of our society.